Hey, everybody. This is FinOps Fridays, our podcast hosted by Aptio and IBM, where we just try to talk FinOps. We try to get industry experts to share their wisdom, advice, experience, and also have a good time. Video stream live on LinkedIn, post to YouTube, and the audio is a little bit longer, and you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head over to Aptio.com. But for now, let's dive right into the podcast. Thanks for listening. All right, everybody. Hunter Willis here with FinOps Fridays. Today we have Sean Alpay, the new chair of the Focus Working Group at the FinOps Foundation. Sean, thanks for joining us today. And just to start, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be on the Focus Chair at the FinOps Foundation, man.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for having me. It has been a circuitous route by which I found myself a part of the Focus Working Group. My whole background is in business intelligence, reporting and analytics, data warehousing, dimensional modeling, this kind of thing. So I've been a consultant for the last 15 years in that space. And when the Focus specification came along, which we'll talk about, of course, a lot here, I was very interested in that. I should also say that our business intelligence consulting firm that I was working at the time created a cloud cost management solution. And so we started building that up. And we saw Focus as a way forward to build the foundation for that platform. And so we got very involved with Focus. And then the more I got involved with the development of that spec as a volunteer, the more I was interested in, you know, spending more and more time on it. And then when a role opened up with the FinOps Foundation to participate as a member of their group, and then to become the chair of the Focus Working Group, I took that opportunity. So I've been in this role actually only a few months. I've been part of the Focus specification for a good year and a half. But as in my new role, it is relatively newly minted.
All right, great. Well, glad to hear that you've taken that on, man. That's really cool. And I'm glad that you could join us today. So thanks again for your time here. Mm-hmm. So really quick, we want to dive into those rapid fire questions that we like to ask our guests. So going to get started with that. And then we'll get rolling with some more questions and talk more about Focus.
Sure.
So to start, are you a Mac or PC guy?
Mac, definitely.
All right. Android or Apple?
Android, so that's weird, right?
Yeah. All right. Maybe not so weird, right? I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not same ecosystem, right? No. Chat or email?
Chat, definitely.
All right, and Slack or Teams?
Slack, for sure.
And online meetings or in-person meetings?
In-person meetings, although that's just not our reality these days.
That's right. You could say depends, right? But morning person or night owl?
Morning person.
A coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And are you a spring guy or a fall guy?
Fall, for sure. The Onion has this article that I look at every year. Mr. Autumn Man, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the greatest one.
Yes, exactly. Stepping crisply through fall leaves in his cardigan and what have you. That's me. It's live footage of me is Mr. Autumn Man.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so cake or pie?
Pie,
okay. And pancakes or waffles?
How about neither? How about a bagel?
Okay. A bagel. All right. Well, there you go. Third option. I like it. I might have to adjust that question. Dogs or cats?
Cats, 100%.
Okay. On the beach, to the mountains, or take a tour if you go on vacation?
The beach.
Okay. And do you consider yourself introverted or more extroverted?
Given the nature of my role, I wish I was extroverted, but I am an introvert.
So many people in IT, I think, right?
Yes, that might
apply too. Yes. All right, thank you, Sean, for bearing with us through those, man. That's a lot of fun. It's good to get to know you a little better too.
Yeah.
All right. So, Focus stands for the FinOps Open Cost and Usage Specification. So, talk to us about how Focus kind of came to be and the need for it, and then what it is and how we got here, right?
Yeah. So Focus was the brainchild of my predecessor, the chair of the Focus Working Group, Udham Dewaraja. He had a passion for creating a common format and specification for billing data across all providers. And this was trying to respond to a problem that many people have had when it comes to gluing together data across multiple providers, is that the shape of the data is different, and the names of the columns are different, and the methodologies might be different. And like trying to make sense of gluing together your Azure data, which might come in multiple feeds when it comes to actual versus amortized, together with AWS CUR, together with BigQuery, GCP exports, with SaaS provider data that may be opaque or not, and putting that together with your on-prem costs and your private cloud costs and maybe your labor data, like bringing that all together into a single place is the domain of what, my background is, which is business intelligence, data warehousing, dimensional modeling. That's something that you have to, a whole subject area of expertise. You have to have a person or a group of people, architects, developers, to build pipelines and perform transformations and put it all into a unified dimensional model and then build a semantic model on top of that and then build visualizations on top of that. That's a whole group of people doing that. And those people aren't necessarily FinOps people. So the idea here, just stepping away from that for a second, is like, how do you facilitate some of that or doing it outside of that subject matter expertise of business intelligence, data warehousing over here as a FinOps practitioner? How do you glue that data together in a meaningful way? How do you increase the speed of your time to market so that you can put that information together more quickly, more easily, more reliably, and then provide it to your end users of various personas, be it your executive or your engineer or whoever else in your organization might be keen on consuming FinOps data. So that was the genesis of it. And Udom talked on a podcast about it. I forget which one. And J.R. Stormont, the executive director of the FinOps Foundation, heard Udom talking about the desire to create this specification, and they got together and essentially brought the idea underneath the umbrella of the FinOps Foundation. So Focus was created as a subsidiary, for lack of a better term, of the FinOps Foundation. A separate working group was created, and Udom led the charge on bringing together a group of equally passionate people on how to solve this problem. So the initial version of Focus was very laser focused on the kind of slam dunk concepts for cloud service provider data, which is to say time and region and resource and SKU and cost and just slam dunk stuff. Let's just get it all together in the same place and let's name it similar things. So we're going to use this name across all providers. So it's not going to be actual versus amortized. It's not going to be blended versus unblended. It's going to be billed versus effective. It's going to be unamortized versus amortized data, right? So it's billed and effective. And those are terms that now, if a FinOps practitioner is consuming focused data, they know what those terms mean because they're documented. And there's documentation online of which previous columns and previous exports go to those concepts. But now you can rely on those things. And further, if you are working at one organization and you move on to the next organization, in theory, if they're also focus compliant, you're not having to understand the semantics of that new organization. You are then able to just bring your understanding semantically from your previous role into the new role and just hit the ground running. So it's not just time to market for data itself, it's also time to market for you getting up to speed in a role, participating in an organization, and providing value sooner.
Well, and also somebody's new coming into the industry, right? I mean, there's training available now. They've got a new certification available for it and everything like that too. So if you're just coming or switching roles from a different role into more of a FinOps focused role or a practitioner role, right? That's available too. Is that right?
That's the whole idea behind the Focus Analyst certification, is that if you have taken that certification, that training and cert, then you have a foundational understanding of Focus and the concepts, the terminology, et cetera, so that if perhaps you're looking to hire a FinOps practitioner, perhaps in your job description, you might put require focus analyst. And then you know you're expecting a certain level of understanding of focus terminology, not just focus terminology, but like billing data concepts that are framed in focus terminology that you can depend upon in that resource for onboarding into your organization and bringing that expertise.
And so we know, okay, so taking a step back too from this, right? And thank you so much for that history and kind of defining all of this for us, man. Really appreciate it. And great job too, by the way.
Thank you.
The FinOps Foundation now has like 60,000 members. It's like skyrocketing in growth. It's been really cool to see that. I just saw an article here published recently about, you know, how much more influence they have in the industry as well. So that's also a reflection, though, how much more cost aware organizations are becoming, especially when it comes to cloud, value delivery, et cetera. And we see with the focus framework, it feels like every time I go back and look at the logos page of how many different organizations are involved and want to meet the specification, I just see more and more, both from the vendor side, as well as, you know, larger like enterprise organizations that are kind of on the consumer side of the story that we're telling here with the specification. So can you talk a little bit about the interest and what that's looked like over time and how many different organizations have kind of, because we're going way beyond CSP costs, right?
Yeah. So a lot of things to unpack there. How much time do you have, really?
Yeah.
So there's so many personas, not just within the FinOps framework, but also just like people who are touching and feeling focused data to consider. Not just like vendors, providers, SaaS, consumer, but also like, how large is your organization?
Yeah.
Are you a one-man band? Are you having to grab this data and put it into a semantic model like Athena or a Power BI or Tableau or Looker or something? Or do you have a whole team of people, or are you somewhere in between? Like, so we have to consider size of organization. We have to consider type of person touching this data. So there's our ideal customer profile, if you will, is extremely large. Like, you have to consider a lot of folks. Like, there's somebody on the team, there are several people on the team at very, very large companies. In fact, somebody at the Fortune 1 company of Walmart. And then we have folks who are like at very, very, not very small places, but relatively smaller places. And all of those perspectives are necessary to consider when it comes to developing a specification. So, going back to your question, we were just in Barcelona a few weeks ago at FinOps XE. Mm-hmm. And in that location, we had what we call the Focus Lab. And for a couple of days, we were just in there. By we, I mean the maintainers of the specification. They all came out to Barcelona and our steering committee. And we were plunked down in that lab, and we had some laptops and we had some stickies up on the wall, and we were collecting feedback from folks on what they want to see in the specification, because we have released the 1.1 specification as of a few weeks ago, and now we're starting to work on 1.2. What is it you want in 1.2? And the way we garner that feedback is multifaceted. We were collecting that in person in that lab. We have a repository in GitHub where anybody can submit an issue, and then we talk about it. You can email focus@finops.org. You can message me on LinkedIn. Like, you can, there's so many ways to collect this information, but we're trying to funnel it into a single place so that we can then sketch out work items, what we call work items. And it's those work items that we then consider for bringing forward in the specification. So when we're considering those work items, we have to think about all that stuff I said earlier about, like, are you a practitioner? Are you a vendor? Are you a provider? Like, there's all sorts of roles and hats people wear when they're asking these things and when they are participating in Focus to help us make the sausage. So on the team, we have practitioners. We have vendor folks. Like I said, before I became the chair of the Focus Working Group, I was a consultant working at a vendor.
Sure. All sorts of different personas from different size organizations so that you get a wide variety of input, right?
Yes. So everyone's welcome at the table to bring their perspective. Specifically on the question about vendors, we feel that Focus lives absolutely alongside or foundationally with vendors. Mm-hmm. So again, exactly. I was a vendor before. We elected to rally around Focus as the foundation for what we were building. So the data model in that situation was all Focus based. Now, that was more greenfield. And so the other point I want to make here is that when a practitioner or a vendor hasn't built something, it's obviously, I would think it's relatively obvious to say, we're going to use Focus. Here it is. Like, you've served up on a silver platter semantic harmonization, data normalization, et cetera, like, great, give it to me.
Well, and I want to pause for just a second too, if you don't mind if I interject, but that's
sure.
The beautiful thing about a specification like this, especially in an area where there isn't anything, because before that, right, people just kind of throwing out their billing data as they see fit.
And a lot of times that's the level of, it's so in the weeds for a company building SaaS or something, like what is the bill going to look like for your consumer, right? Because we might look at a standard enterprise format from the past to build that. But now, again, as you're kind of talking about right now, like having this format for people to align to a specification that they can produce data to fill gives them kind of a benchmark as they're building solutions. And, you know, organizations that haven't done that before have something to shoot for. It's so important. And it's so nice to see this happening. Anyway, just kind of wanted to interject there on that kind of the need for this, because there really wasn't anything there in the past. And the variety of the amount of billing data that you would get from different vendors was just enormous. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Absolutely. And further, I would say that a portion of the value proposition of a FinOps vendor has been the doing of all of those things. The things I was talking about earlier about like transformations and harmonization and all of that, like with Focus, some of that terminology and work is done for free, if you will. And what I want to dispel is any thought around, well, that invalidates the work of FinOps vendors. Like, no. FinOps Focus is coming for our lunch. That's not true at all. Right. I see it as we're kind of bringing table stakes. We're making table stakes out of the gluing, and it unlocks all the more advanced use cases that you might depend upon for a vendor to give you vis-a-vis forecasting and recommendations and unit economics and like showing you utilization and coverage and like all of these things that are kind of like the next level up from just basic visibility or harmonization. So that's the pitch that I would have, is when the doing of Focus, the implementation of Focus, it unlocks the need to be doing the more mundane pieces of this, telling that part of the story, and allows you to move kind of upwards into the higher brain space of like unlocking more advanced use cases, giving you more insight, moving the needle for the practitioner. That's my take on that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Oh, I wasn't even thinking like FinOps. I was thinking just like any SaaS company, right? Like if I build a app on the cloud that is a productivity app and I'm like, hey, you know, how are we going to bill our customers? In the past, I might've just, you know, come up with a generic bill that had a number on it and just shoot it out there based on a contract agreement or something. But now,
well, and you might be emailing it and it might be a PDF.
Exactly.
And so we hear from folks like, I tried to write this algorithm to scrape out of this PDF, but actually I just had to go in there and manually type it in every month. It's a nightmare. Exactly. It's a nightmare, right? Yeah. So like if we have a central specification that is relatively easy for someone to implement, then that eliminates the need to do that. And we can move out of the 1990s and we can move into something. Speaking of the 1990s, have you ever heard of electronic data interchange or EDI?
No, enlighten me.
Yeah, so like it was a specification that was built a long time ago talking about how to bring together it's shipping via FTP, right? Like data or like telecommunications information or just like all sorts of like kind of data that was being shipped in very disparate ways, and a group came together to have a standard around it. And now it's just part of the furniture. Like if you're shipping that kind of data, it's just like EDI 27 or whatever. Like in an ideal world, Focus becomes part of the furniture, and you just assume as a matter of course, when you talk about FinOps billing data, that it is just in the Focus format. We're not there yet and may not be there for some time to come, but that's the North Star. That's my long-term goal, is how do we kind of just make it an assumption that you are leveraging Focus when it comes to, in your example, a SaaS provider just spitting out some relatively trivial lines, but it's in Focus format. So I can go glue it together with my other feed, which is billions of lines.
Exactly. And that may even just look like, actually, like you said, just giving a, you know, some kind of a database with tagging versus just like a PDF with a number on it, right? And it's that simple. It's not some massive hurdle for organizations to have to overcome in some cases, right? But like, when I look at what Focus has done and the amount of influence they've already like shed across the industry and the amount of organizations that have signed up for it, from, as you said, multinational corporations that have tons of structure and lots of different personas that are involved in all of this, to small shops, to FinOps vendors, to SaaS vendors, the influence is palpable. The demand for it is palpable, and it's coming right. It kind of feels like the perfect time for the FinOps Foundation, as the growth is just exploding, right? So What do you see as kind of the future and where things are going with this as you kind of come out with new versions? Can you talk a little bit about what the feedback people are giving and what they want to see from the focus framework? The specification, excuse me.
Yeah. Yes. So as I said, we just released the 1.1 specification, which was building atop the 1.0 specification, which is to say we added iteratively some new columns and clarified some concepts. 1.2 boils down to a few themes, the top of which I would say is bringing in support for SAS data. So what we've heard time and again from folks is, this is great, we love Focus, but it's pretty focused on cloud service provider, hyperscaler, CSP, activity and data. What about when it comes to concepts, building models that aren't necessarily native to CSPs? Like, for example, a lot of SaaS providers, they don't sell you something per the hour you're running it. They sell you a dragon's hoard of tokens or credits, and you're burning down that dragon's hoard over time. Like, that concept exists in CSPs, but it's not really the core functionality. It's kind of like on the side or tangential. So correspondingly, Focus hasn't like directly natively solved for that. So what we want to do in 1.2 is add a minimum viable set of columns and concepts to the spec to facilitate the Snowflakes, Databricks, Datadogs, MongoDB Atlases of the world to be able to bring their data into the Focus format. What I will say on top of that is that any SaaS provider today could be using the Focus format, even though it's missing those columns, because Focus allows any provider to bring their own specific columns in alongside. So you could have the 50 Focus columns and then 10 more of your own. But we want to be able to say confidently, we feel like we've considered SaaS and its billing models, and now with 1.2, which we're shooting for mid of next year, you can confidently say to your end users, we're putting our data in the Focus format and it's going to be useful for you. We have multiple SaaS folks in the room helping with that. But if you are a SaaS provider and you're listening to this, now is the time to get involved. Like, because in the next few months, we're going to be having conversations that impact not just this release of Focus, but future releases of Focus. And if you want to help influence that work, I would strongly recommend that you get involved with the Focus working group and help us craft the best possible solution.
Yeah, and I know that just from a cloudability perspective, we're very focused on this as well here at IBM. And I know a lot of the other FinOps vendors are as well, wanting to be able to kind of ingest that data and help organizations make that kind of fully burdened cost of cloud story a lot easier moving forward. And importing and all that. And like you kind of touched on that fact that, you know, the FinOps vendors want to be able to make this easy too. And it's, so it's faster for the FinOps practitioner to get to those, you know, that higher level capabilities. Right.
So
go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to pontificate further on other themes that we're considering.
Yeah.
So like, we want to continue to add columns that are CSP focused, because that's always going to be the bread and butter of Focus. And we want to make sure that we're bringing in those concepts too. Like, for example, we don't have invoice ID in the specification yet. So if you want to do invoice reconciliation, we don't have that. Now, as I said a couple minutes ago, a provider can add invoice ID, and indeed some of them have. But we want to have that column natively in Focus so we can say, yes, Focus facilitates invoice reconciliation so that when that invoice ID shows up, you know it's been invoiced, and you can go look at your PDF and you can go make sure that those numbers are aligned. And then the third theme for 1.2 is we are going back and adding some fixes and clarifications to the existing columns in the spec to make sure that we have the requirements in there are very clear, and we've eliminated any inconsistencies or vague notions. We moved very quickly, adding a bunch of columns in the last couple of years, and we want to make sure, based on feedback, that we have made every normative requirement very clear. So when a provider is standing up their export of Focus, or when a consumer is consuming that data, it's clear what it is that's in that column. So that's 1.2. And then beyond 1.2 are many other things that we could possibly do. And I'd say probably top of the list in terms of interest is sustainability. So what would it mean to bring in CO2 equivalent data or energy consumption or water consumption? And this is a very tricky topic because every provider is using different methodologies and they're doing it at different grains and they're providing it to you at different times. And it's the Wild West out there. And I'm learning as we go, right? So we are partnering with our sustainability special interest group at the FinOps Foundation,
That's great.
and we're depending on them in the next several months to help us generate more specific requirements for what we might add to the spec. Adding columns to a specification is so easy. Having non-functional requirements around the timeliness and accuracy and auditability and all of that stuff, that's the much harder part. Like we could just go ahead, actually.
But I was just going to say, but coming from the FinOps Foundation too, you don't want to make like you said, sustainability, when you're talking about like scope one, scope two, scope three, data normalization and all that stuff, you don't want to spit out recommendations and put in gaps and column sheets that nobody's ever going to be able to fill in, right? Or to adhere to.
So that's a conversation we've started recognizing it's going to take some time for us to align on what we put in focus. So it's not in scope for this version, but it might be in scope for next version, depending on what that group collates around. So there's that. We might want to bring in observability data. Like we don't have CPU percentages or consume memory or I/O or throughput. That's all stuff that we could add too, right? So, and then there's a long list of stuff in the backlog of smaller things or very large topics we haven't delved into, but my point is, there's years worth of stuff to work on and focus, but the more folks we get involved in the working group, the faster we can go. So another call to action I would have for your listeners is if you're interested in helping contribute to that and increasing the velocity of the working group to get to working on something that you care about, get involved, join our user group, join the working group, help us move more quickly through that large backlog.
And that can be done by visiting finops.org. If you go to focus.finops.org directly, that's the landing page for the focus specification, right?
That's right, yes. Going there, you can see how to get started with Focus data sets. You can go, there's a support page where you can email focus@finops.org for any questions you might have. If you're on the FinOps Foundation Slack, there's a couple different Focus channels that you can join. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can, like, there's many ways to engage, but I would say start with focus.finops.org, and that will give you kind of a one-stop shop of like how to contribute, how to get involved, how to better understand what focus is. The concept of focus, and really FinOps in general, as it's all new, right? The last few years have seen a big growth in interest and participation in FinOps as a subject area. But based on my background in business intelligence, I would argue that FinOps and focus is all just based on that those subject areas. Like being able to bring data together in a meaningful way to tell a story across an organization of the various subject areas. That's enterprise data warehousing, right? Like, and that's existed for decades. So when it comes to something like unit economics, where you're taking a cost and you're dividing it by something to come up with a cost per click or something, that's bog standard business intelligence. Like it's framed within focus and sorry, it's framed within FinOps as unit economics. But I want to make the point that like some of this stuff has been done before. And when you want to bring in two subject areas, let's say cloud cost data and then like claims data or like email activity or whatever, or ServiceNow tickets or whatever. That is a well understood practice. And this the axe I'm trying to grind here is that I still see a gap between FinOps practitioners and their BI data warehousing partners, folks sitting in enterprise IT, and there's still like an opportunity to harmonize those two groups, to bring them together and partner more to leverage existing semantic models and visualizations and pipelines and what have you, alongside what FinOps practitioners are doing. Because what I've seen as a consultant in large organizations is a business unit says to me, and this is not FinOps we're talking about, they say to me, my enterprise data warehouse team, like they've got their thing going on and I'm not going to bother them with this. I'm just going to do this myself. And then they go and reinvent fire. and they've got their little fiefdom in here, and it doesn't agree with what's going to the CFO coming from the EDW. My point is, I worry about that maybe happening in FinOps, where they say like, they don't understand FinOps, and I'm busy, and I don't have the time or the space to like really get into data governance with them and explain these concepts. I'm just going to build it myself. And so they try to build it themselves, and they may have some measure of success doing that. But then it's a different version of the truth. Then it's not necessarily built up the best practices of how you might build transformations, et cetera. So I guess what I'm saying here, my concern and the thing I try to evangelize when talking about focus and FinOps in general is, how can we bring those two groups of people together, the FinOps practitioner and the data architect, data engineer, not the FinOps engineer, but the data engineer or the developer of BI, how to bring those people together? Because that will create a more useful long-term solution in your organization if that partnership is being stoked. So that's a bit tangential to focus, but I do think that with the specification, if the data engineer over in enterprise IT can read a spec about focus and the FinOps practitioner can read a spec about focus, they can use similar terminology, and then that kind of facilitates that conversation. So the more that focus becomes part of the furniture, the more that I see that harmonization of the FinOps people and the BI people occurring or has a better chance of happening.
Well, and I, you know, to add to that, I would say that that's something that we deal with like constantly, and it's in the fabric of everything that we've done with Cloudability and ever at IBM and the different things that we're pulling together too.
Yeah.
I would say though, to your comment that this is tangential, if we're not talking about the operations and how people are actually going to dive into this though, right? That's where the rubber meets the road. And we talk about this a lot, and that's why FinOps on and its whole is so valuable as the framework to bring all this stuff together. When you talk about capability maturity and the different actions that people have to take and best practices, et cetera, and now you're talking about focus specification being this, you know, kind of glue that's going to bring all this data together. It's like organizations need these recommendations. They need to understand this, and that the operationalization of all of this stuff is something that maybe we could all focus on a little bit more, right? And the kind of relational best practices that you just mentioned is something, because I've talked to a lot of people about a lot of personas, and nobody's ever talked about a data warehouse guy coming in to bring this into the organizational format beyond like what the data they're getting out of the cloud or what their FinOps team is like putting together, right? So no, I think that's it's really poignant and it's important to touch on.
The FinOps framework has three phases. It's got inform, optimize, and operate. That inform piece, it's implied, but I really want to underscore it, is that that's business intelligence. That's reporting and analytics. That's telling a data story. And like the simple word inform implies so much of like grabbing data and landing it in a data store, data lake, data warehouse, and then transforming it and putting it into a model and building aggregations and naming things properly and building hierarchies and putting it in front of eyeballs and having governance around it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. That's just the first phase. Like just putting data in front of eyeballs it's been my whole career.
Yeah.
And it's super important to get that right, because you can't do the other phases without getting that visibility right.
Well, and that's the importance of a common specification speaks for itself when you talk about it like that. And then the other thing I want to say is that what we're reporting on is increasing every day as well, because there's more and more SaaS applications. There's more now. It's like AI is this new layer of stuff. And are the data warehouses and the data centers for what's hosting AI stuff, is that all going to be in the same kind of public clouds that we've all been using? Or are we going to be starting to use proprietary clouds? And are we going to have to build our own private clouds again to handle the AI stuff that we want to invest in, et cetera? Yeah. And then like, I'm starting to look on the horizon at, quantum computing and what that's, you know, we're not anywhere with a practical thing with quantum computing yet, but it's like, I'm starting to feel it kind of coming. You're seeing it more and more, and people are starting to try to figure out the use cases for that. So it's only going to grow, and organizing it and operationalizing it is just going to be more important.
Whenever anyone says like AI for FinOps, for example, I immediately think BI for FinOps. You know, it's like in order to facilitate any of that, like you have to be able to tell the story of the current state of where the data is And that requires bringing that data together in a meaningful way. And that requires a partnership, like I said already, between someone who understands the subject matter and somebody who understands how to build data structures properly. And you're always going to have somebody on one side of the fence or the other. I've spent my career kind of straddling being a data architect, but then also putting on an analyst hat and really grokking ERP data, retail data. Like, I worked at Jamba Juice, the Jamba Juice headquarters for a while. So I had to really understand how people, you know, bought and sold smoothies and like at what time of the day. And like,
right.
So, like really, really having to go deep on subject matter. And FinOps for me right now is that subject area. But for a FinOps practitioner, it will also require understanding the other subject areas for unit economics or total cost of ownership, right? So like, I just mean to say like, the more that we can bring together all those subject areas into a common place, the more we can unlock not just telling the story of FinOps data, but unlocking advanced FinOps use cases like unit economics.
All right. Well, Sean, this is awesome. This has been a great conversation, man. Again, I really appreciate your time. Any final words before we sign off here?
Like I said, if you've listened to this conversation and you are all interested or intrigued in the concepts, please get in touch. Please get involved with Focus. The more that we the more hands we have on the work, the faster we can move and the better solution we'll build. So please consider getting involved and give us your feedback if you think that something should be added to Focus or something should be changed with Focus. That'd be incredibly helpful as well.
All right. And again, that's head over to focus.finops.org to check that out. There's also, we touched on green ops or like sustainability carbon reporting. There's a working group on that as well. So check out that information and a lot of the other topics there too. There are working groups for and community feedback for on the FinOps Foundation. Again, FinOps Foundation's main website is finops.org. So again, if you have questions about that, want to learn more about anything that we talked about today, head on over there, check it out. Again, this is Hunter Willis with FinOps Friday signing off. Sean, thanks again for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of FinOps Fridays. If you have any FinOps questions or questions about the podcast, reach out to us at finopsfridays@aptio.com. You can also find more information at the website there as well. We're also really active on social media. So hope that you like, subscribe to our content. And if you have any questions, you can also comment there. Hope to see you next time. Hope you have a good one. Until then.